Reading from God's holy word, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 18. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You searched out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, that none of them as yet, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. And reading from the first scroll of Samuel, we're in the third chapter, the first 10 verses. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, here am I, and ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, I did not call, lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But Samuel said, I did not call, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to Samuel. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. I invite Reverend Rachel Bauman to speak, preach, give us the gospel.
Good morning. My name is Reverend Rachel Bauman. I am an associate conference minister with the Wisconsin Conference of the United Church of Christ. And I bring greetings from the entire conference on this momentous day in the life of Pastor of Reverend Denise and in the life of Mazomanie United Church of Christ, and especially from Franz Riegert, our conference minister. The entire conference staff is holding you in prayer this morning, and so I represent the 200 and some odd churches of the United Church of Christ and all of our staff. It's such a blessing to be with you today, and I invite you to be in a spirit of prayer with me. God, I thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for all of the people who are here in this room and the vast cloud of witnesses that are gathered here in spirit. We give you thanks for Denise, for her ministry with us and among us. We give you thanks for this congregation, for their ministry here in Mesomanie, and we give you thanks for the opportunity to be here together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts draw us closer to you, God, be pleasing in your sight, our rock, our redeemer, our life, and our love. Amen. It is truly a joy to be with you this morning. Thank you, Denise, so much for the invitation. I'm humbled and honored to stand before you, this beautiful gathering of people, to celebrate and give thanks for Denise's many long years in ministry in and on behalf of God's church, and to bless you well into this new chapter of living out your call to continue to serve God's people. Because while today marks the end of this particular ministry of serving as pastor, prophet, and priest to a local congregation, this is not the end of your call. One of the things I so appreciate and have loved about getting to know Denise is how clearly Denise is that while it is time for her to release the particular roles of congregational ministry, she's not being released from her call from God. In fact, quite the opposite. Denise has been quite consciously and intentionally listening and knowing that God is calling her into deeper ministry with her therapeutic patients, deeper call as a daughter, and in ways that we don't even know yet to be unfolded. Because God's call, Denise's clarity and intentionality around this is such a gift and modeling to me and to all of us. Because here's the thing that I'm sure, Denise, you would be the first to point out to all of us. All of us are called by God all the time for our entire lives. A calling isn't a special status reserved for those of us who wear robes or administer the sacraments. A calling is something we all have, a part of what it means to be human. As people of faith, this language of call, I'm guessing, is quite familiar to you. But when it comes down to it, what does the idea of call actually mean? What does it mean for us as individuals or as communities? Does God, the source of all that is, whatever name we have for that great mystery in which we live and move and have our being, does God really call each of us personally? And even if we believe on some level that is true, how do we know that a voice we may be hearing, is a call from God? How do we distinguish the voices that may wake us up in the middle of the night, metaphorically or literally, as God's call versus our own egos or worries or anxious conditioning? Even Samuel, in our scripture this morning, didn't understand that the voice he was hearing was the voice of God. And one might think that Samuel, of all people, would be clear on this point. Because Samuel, as you may or may not remember, had been dedicated to the service of the Lord for his whole life, from the beginning of his life. Samuel was the child of Hannah, who had been unable to have a child, and for years begged God for a baby. When Hannah was finally able to conceive, she was so grateful. She dedicated her child to God, to live his life in service of God. And so as soon as Samuel was weaned, Hannah brought Samuel to live at the temple to serve Eli, the high priest. And so when we meet Samuel in the passage that Denise read, Samuel was asleep in the room next to Eli. And we know by this point he's been in the house of the Lord for years. And yet he almost missed the call. Well, to be fair, he didn't really miss it. He heard it. It's hard. There's no way of getting around the voice, the summoning voice in this story. We hear four times in this short passage, the Lord called Samuel. And this is no soft whispering voice. The Hebrew word that's used in this passage that's translated as call is translated elsewhere in the Hebrew Bible as shout or loud cry. This was not God whispering, Samuel, Samuel. This was Samuel, enough to wake him from his bed. And so he definitely heard the call. He just didn't understand who or what that he was hearing, that was God. Oh, it's just Eli, he thought, needing a glass of water, needing me to make sure the lamp is lit. Now, in Eli's defense, why would he think that what woke him up was anything other than the voice of Eli? It says right there in the text that the voice of God, the word of God, was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. How was Eli to know that this voice was the voice of God? It can be confusing, this idea of call. And personally, I think that these particular stories from Scripture can add to the frustration, suggesting that God's voice or call will come in a particular instance, a clear moment where we will be told in no uncertain terms who we are to be, what we are to do, where we are to go, a role we are to play, how we are to respond to a particular situation. And so if that hasn't happened to us, does that mean somehow we missed our call? Or maybe the call isn't really personal to each of us, and instead we should just focus on doing whatever we can, all we can, all the time, to make the world a better place for others. And you know, to be honest, it's a mystery. It's a mystery the way in which God's call comes and continues to come to each of us. We are finite beings doing our best to be open to an infinite God. And yet, even as it is a mystery, I'm pretty sure that the call of God is not like a bus schedule that we must diligently study, because if we are late or distracted, we will miss our ride. And although I do think the call from God is always about amplifying love and justice and peace and mercy and compassion in the world, it's not helpful or effective if we take the whole of that as our personal responsibility. That's a recipe for burnout for sure. Running around trying to meet every need, or a sure way to inflate our egos, imagining that somehow we are the solution to all the world's needs. Or it can simply cause us to withdraw in exhaustion or despair, fearing that we are not good enough or big enough or powerful enough or energetic enough, that we have outlived our usefulness or don't have the gifts and skills and abilities to actually meet the immensity of the world's needs. One of my very favorite stories about how to might understand our call to and from God is a story that's told about Rabbi Zusha, who was a famous scholar and rabbi of the Talmud. Zusha, Rabbi Zusha, was revered for his wisdom and compassion and dedication to God. And the story goes, the legend goes, that as he was dying, he was surrounded by his students. And they heard him say that he was afraid to go and meet God, to face God. "I am afraid," the rabbi said, "that I will be found wanting." His students were shocked and said, "Rabbi, you are a pure and righteous man. You have shown the leadership of Abraham, the courage of Jacob, the vision of Moses. What could you have to fear in facing God?" And Zusha replied, I am not afraid that God will ask me why I was not more like Abraham or Jacob or Moses. I can honestly say that I did not have the God-given abilities of Abraham or Moses. But if God asks me, Zusia, why were you not more like Zusia? Well, for that, I have no answer at all. God is calling all the time to each one of us, a call from God directly to you, a call from God to be you. The call from God is not something that comes from out there, but from in here, from the center of who we are. The psalmist writes, God, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I love the Hebrew here. The literal Hebrew for inward parts means kidneys. But the writer of the psalm was not writing a biology text, right? He was writing poetry. And in Hebrew, the word for kidneys means that the metaphorical understanding of that is the seat of the emotions or conscience or being or the uniqueness of each person. There's not really a good English translation. Perhaps the best one is something like an internal compass. More even than our conscience, it's like our heart and our body and our mind and our soul knowing what is true and right and good for us. The psalmist is affirming that this internal sense is inside each of us, arising from our core that has been put in us, knit inside of us by God, that this is God's call to us. And it's available and with us always, as close as our beating heart, as close as our breath. There's an old hymn by George Herbert, which is, appropriately enough, called The Call. And it is, for me, the best expression of what I'm trying to express here about my understanding of call. And interestingly enough, because this is the way the Holy works, when I walked in this morning, that song was being played on the piano, the song, The Call. And the words, I'm just going to say these little words to you. It just gave me goosebumps. I was like, okay, God, apparently this is the message I'm supposed to be preaching today. The words are, come, my way, my truth, my life. Come, my joy, my love, my heart. Such a way as gives us breath, such a joy as none can move, such a love as none can part. The call of God, at least the way I have come to understand it, is what gives each of us breath and joy and love. What brings you joy? There is a need in the world that matches that joy. Where do you find love? There you will find God. When and where are you most completely, irrevocably, unselfconsciously yourself? I would suggest that therein lies the call from God. Find that person within you who has been fearfully and wonderfully made, as the psalmist writes, who is continually being fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, and be that person boldly in the world. We are called by God to be ourselves, not some perfect caricature of ourselves, but our real selves. Here's the thing, though. Most, if not all, of us need help being our real selves. Most, if not all, of us need support in this journey of authentically bringing that self into the world, because it's super vulnerable to do this. It's vulnerable. I also resonate with, like, I don't like speaking in public. It's funny how many ministers don't like speaking in public. It's vulnerable to live our call in the world. We need to be with people who see us for who we are and call that out and tell us that it is fearfully and wonderfully good. We need Eli's. We need people who hear what is waking us up in the middle of the night and help us to discern which piece of that is a call from God and how to respond. People who can help us sort out those voices. People who help us see that we indeed have gifts to bring and help us to not be afraid to bring them. We need Eli's. Denise has faithfully been an Eli with you and for you for so many years, and to that we give great thanks, and we release her on her way to be Eli with and for others, and to have others be Eli with and for her. And you all, dear people, are invited to continue to be Eli's for each other and for another who will come among you, to continue to listen to your own beating heart, to listen for and amplify and help birth into the world the truth of the heart of those around you. May we remember that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that the world needs our unique voice and self in the world. May we continue to be Eli's for each other, for the sake of the world God asks us to love. May it be so. Amen.